it's very kedai to analyze a little bit the Pashyas in Sefer Bamidbar from Chukas onwards. We have to understand some, when we think of Chukas, we think of Poradoma, but in a broader picture, we should say that Chukas begins and really almost ends the history of the 40th year. The 38 years which elapsed between Korach and Chukas, the Misa of Miriam with which Chukas begins after the Poradoma, that means the historical part with which Chukas begins is the Misa of Miriam. So we have no idea what happened during those 38 years. We know in general terms that that is when the people were dying, but we are not told what happened during those years. They remain a sort of a mystery to us. But now in the 40th year, we have the Misa of Miriam, and then you have the grumbling about the water, and you have the grumbling about the man, whatever it is that happened during that year, and it ends with the conquest of Sichon and Og, which means that the Yidden end up in Avos Moav, which for practical purposes is the end of the traveling through the Midbar. This is where they needed to get, and it is from here that they're going to cross into Eretz Yisrael. That is, if we want to make a précis of what Chukas is talking about, we could, without being terribly wrong, say Chukas is the story of the end of the traveling through the Midbar, ending in Avos Moav. After Chukas comes Balak. Now, we know the story of Balak, we know the whole Pashuk. One must assume, I assume at least, that nobody, Moshe Rabbeinu, not anybody else, knew what was happening. That means that the events which we learn in Parshas Balak, that Balak sent his messengers to Bilam, and that he wanted to make a deal, and he wanted them to curse, and there was a donkey, and there were nevuas, and a hen, and a hair. There's no way that anybody would have known anything about that. That happened up there. He was up on the mountains and he looked down, but they didn't know that he was looking at them. This was something that was happening totally outside the Jewish experience. That's perhaps why the Gemara in Bava Basra, when it counts out the various sorim who wrote which sefer, so it says Moshe Kosav Sefer Pashas Bilam. It reckons Parshas Bilam as separate from Sifrei, because Rashi says Sifrei is Moshe Rabbeinu's Hanhoga of Klal Yisrael. That is what the Torah is about, and this interlude with Balak and Bilam is not part of that. The Rabbeinu Shem tells us that it happened in the Torah, but one assumes that the people who in Klal Yisrael, who were living down there, they didn't see what was going on up there, and they certainly didn't hear what was going on up there, so they probably didn't know about it. So this is a sort of an interlude. There is a little problem, and that is that later on, Tucker, in our Pasha this week in Matos, when the Yidden come back from fighting the Midianim, we'll get there, but when the Yidden come back, so Moshe Rabbeinu is angry at them. So why didn't you kill the Nekevos? They killed the Schorim, but they didn't kill the Nekevos. So Rashi gives them Musa. Says, why didn't you kill the Nekevos? Hein, heino. One day the very ones that were machtiyu, vayom alem aleim Moshe hachiyisem kol Nekevo. Hein heino hoyu livnei Yisrael bitva bilam limso mal b'shem. Oh, so he knows it's bitva bilam. So I'm wrong, because apparently Moshe Rabbeinu, well, I don't know whether he knew the whole story, but he certainly seemed to have known part of the story. That is what I think Rashi learns like that. The Ramban does not learn like that. And the Ramban wants to say al derech pshat, that the fact that it says bitva bilam doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu knew this whole story which we have in Parshas Balak. No, was then? So he says like this. This is in Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Aleph. V'yitochen oid ki al derech hapshat ki bolok betchilo ho yochofetz lekalulam ulehilochem bohem. He says, this Bidvar Bilam means something completely different. What's the background? That at the beginning, Balak had planned to get Bilam to curse the Yidden, and then to fight them, hopefully successfully. So that was the original plan. That was plan one. We're talking about Yaldeach Abshat Kiborak Vitzilo Yochofet Lekalalam Ule Lochem Bohem Velo Yitin Oysam Lovo Bikluvulo Klal. That was the original plan. That was plan A. V'chasher Omar Loi Bilam Kilo Yucha Lohem. But Bilam told him, listen, Balak, you're never going to conquer them in a battle. All the curses which I wanted to make, like I really tried very hard, but it's not going to work because the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't let. V'hoidiyoi Shelo Yacharivu Atzo. But he told him also, listen, you don't have anything to fear from the Yidden, because they have no interest in destroying your land or your people. Rak ba'achris hayomim, that's going to happen. That's what he said, Yotzo, what's going to happen? Ba'achris hayomim. But now, it's not going to happen. So there were two very important pieces of information that Balak gleaned from Bilam. Namely, A, that he's never going to conquer the Yidden. B, that he has nothing to fear from them. Oz hoitzi lechem v'yayin ba'ava ismoyov. So now Balak suddenly became a good friend of the Yidden. Ah, he said, welcome, welcome, welcome. Look, we're relatives through light. Well, please let me welcome you. And he brought them out, lechem v'yayin. Upito isam k'oyev lohem. He treated them like friends. V'zehu b'dvar Bilam, ki ba'avu d'vorov osu ken. So that is how the Ramban learns. The Ramban is noited towards the Derech HaPshat, as we've seen so many, many, many times, and that therefore he tries to avoid this kasha, which I assume was bothering him, this kasha, which is that, what do you mean b'dvar Bilam? How would he know that? Okay, so we're still sitting in Avos Moav. We're still sitting in Avos Moav. And the whole story of Balak and Bilam that came in the middle is a sort of like a hefsek. Okay, now we get back to the story. That's the end of Balak. Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim, Vayochel Ha'om Liznois El Benois Moav, Vatikreenu La'om Lizifre Eloheyen, Vayochel La'om Vayishtachavu Leloheyen, Vayitzom Meid Yisrael Leval Peoya. You know, when I read these psukim, I just want to give up. What is happening over here? The Yidden are sitting in Avos Moav. They're on the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael. And now a bunch of women come to inveigle them into Maisesnos in order to get them to serve the Poel. And everybody knows from the Gemara in Sanhedrin what the avodah of the Poel was, the disgusting things that were done. They used them as a bathroom. So what else am I going to do? I'm sitting in Avos Moav, so what am I going to do? Ah, I've got a great idea. It's a great activity for a nice Sunday afternoon. You mezane with the Bnois Moav and you serve the Poel. What can sein besser? I mean, what's going on? And the pasuk uses over here Vayitzomed Yisroel Val Toya. That tzomad means to cleave to, like a tzomit posil. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Gemara tells that story about the lady who was sick and she had made a neder that if the Ribbono Shel Olam allows her to become well, she didn't say the Ribbono Shel Olam. Well, if she's going to get well, so then every single avodah zarah in the world she's going to serve in gratitude for her becoming well. Oh, she became well. So now she's got to go to all the avodah zarahs and serve them. And she went to this one and to that one, Amachaya, and she served them all. Till she came to the Poel. So she asked the Kohanim over there, Nu, how do you serve this Poel? So they told her the disgusting ways in which the Avodah was going to take place. So she said, not me. I'd rather go home and die from my sickness. If my not keeping my neder is going to make me die, so I'll die. But this I'm not going to do. I'm not going to lower myself to this disgusting horror of doing these things for the Poel. count me out, I'm not going to do it. Sagt die Gemara, and you can hear the Gemara sighing, oh, Vater Yisrael, but you Yidden, here you see this Goyshe lady, alright, she must have had certain hasogas, because the way she understood things, she was expressing a big hakoros hatov. She's going around and serving every single idol. Oh, it's a very worthy thing, Be'etzem, from where she's coming. But he says, but you are Vayitzome, she knows, she has an edelkeit, she understands that it's a disgusting disgrace to do these things, and I'm not going to do it. And if that costs me my life, it's good, so it'll cost me my life. But you are Vayitzomeid, Leval Poir, you're cleaving to the Poir. You can't tear yourself away from him. I mean, this is at the end of 40 years. And the emes is, I don't understand, where was Moshe Rabbeinu? It's unbelievable. Vayeshi Yisrael Bashetim, Vayochel Om Liznois El Benois Mayav, Vatikrenu Leom Lezivche Elohen, Vayochel Om Vayishtachavu Lelohen, Vayitzomed Yisrael Leval Poer, Vayichaf Hashem B'Yisrael, Vayom Hashem El Moshe, Kachas Kol Roshe Om, Vahoykal, some terrible thing over there. I think that many Mephoshim learned that didn't happen, that Pinchas's Kanoz was eliminated the need of killing all these people. Good. But Moshe Rabbeinu was totally passive over here. I can't understand it. In Chukas, when the Yidden grumbled about the water, alright, Znishkin goes to mitzvah to grumble about the water. The emesis that the Rabbeinu Shem Kilu Musad Moshe Rabbeinu. I said, why don't you give them water? Well, who asked you to start banging rocks or giving them Musad Roshes dot Chves? Yeah, I forget now the lotion which he used. He mustered them for grumbling. So why do you have to muster them? Give them the water, they're thirsty. I didn't muster them, so why do you have to muster them? But he mustered them. And then he ran with with Aaron and he in front of the Oil Mile, I think, and they fell down. Here he's not doing anything. He's sitting there. Later on, it says that when Zimri came, so they came. Vine ish mibnei Yisrael bo vayakreves el echoves amid yonis leene Moshe leene kol adas bnei Yisrael vehemo boichem pesach oel moed. Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting there and crying. And why was he crying? Zagashi. Here. Weil wenn ich mir das soll, das kapse Schifter soll schimmen, als in Zimri, so ja noch sich lohem, obwohl er ohne eine deine Bemisse warte, ja ich und die Israel in eine Sorten, es haben mit Jonas Kosmi was zu alleine Mosche, obwohl er Mosche so Asura und Materes, im Teil Asura, was Jesu mi hitiro loch, kad Jesu hosam, vreim o boichem, nes almo mimena halocho, go ukulam bibchiyom. It's be'egel, omad Moshe k'neged shishim ribo, sh'nema v'yitchon ad ha'shedok, v'kan rofu yodov, elu k'dei sh'yov v'pinchos v'yitol es hero eloim. See, that's very, very interesting. I wouldn't have said by the egel. The egel was 40 years earlier. So that Moshe Rabbeinu was still the tukva. He's now a yid of 120 years. And maybe to compare his reaction, or rather his non-reaction over here, to what he did by the Egel is really not completely fair, maybe. Because he's a much older person today, although it was Leinos Recha, who knows. But why can't we compare it to the, in Chukas Gufa, the water? So he reacted to what the Yidden were doing. And in my understanding, I mean, I don't understand it, but in my understanding, a measurable chelik of Klal Yisrael going out to be mezane with Moavi women and serving the Pa'oya, I would have said that in the hierarchy of evil, I would have thought that that's a lot worse than grumbling about the water. They were thirsty. No, so maybe they shouldn't have grumbled. Oh, they shouldn't have grumbled. But they were thirsty. So when a person is thirsty, he'll do a lot of things. And his children are thirsty. Children are all crying. You can understand it. But this, in Abbas Moyer, it's after the victories of Sichon and Og, they saw the what was happening. And they saw that they conquered. They saw that everything was beginning to come true. And what are they doing? They're mezana with the Bnei Ishmael. It's difficult to understand. It's difficult to understand, and it's difficult to understand where was Moshe. He was crying. Why was he crying? Oh, sacrifice those from Rashi, from the Chazal over there, that he was crying because it was Nitzan Mimena Halacha. He didn't remember the Halacha of Ba'al Aramez Kanoim Paikim Ba'al. I mean, that's what you have to worry about. They were being Mizane with the Bnei Ishmael of Tayyid, a good Yidden. From the day of thousands of Yidden were sitting over there fornicating with the Bnei Ishmael and serving the Pa'ayah. And you're just sitting there. What's happening? So Rashi uses that chazal that here Nisan Mimena Alocha go kula b'pchiyah, because be'egel it's apparently in Tanchuma Omat Moshe k'neged shishim riboy shneimer v'yitchon ad asher dak v'kan rofu yodav ele k'dei shiyova Pinchas. We'll come back to this later, but in the meantime, it's a difficult story to remember, to understand. Fine. So that brings us to the end of Bolak. Then comes the story of Pinchas at the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, and that's it. Now, how does the story of Pinchas end? Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemer, tzoroyes ha-midyonim v'hikisem oisam. I want you to smite the Midyanim, ki tzoyerim heim lochem v'nichlehem asher nichlu lochem al dvar po'er v'al dvar kosbi bas nasi midyon ach oisam ha-muko b'yoyim ha-makefo. Al dvar po'er. Okay. What happens? Nothing. Ruban Shom Lechoyer is telling him, I want you to be tzoroyes ha-midyonim, which I guess means to fight against them. It's the making a tzorah for the Midianim, which is the tzav hasha'or, and you should smite them. But nothing's happening. What is happening? Vayhi acharei amar geifo vayomer Hashem el Moshe lo zaharon hakoyen se'u es roish kaladas b'nei Yisrael. In other words, this tzoraya as a Midianim is put on the shelf. Moshe Rabbeinu received the mitzvah from the Rabbeinu Shon, Tzorayas HaMidyonim V'Kisei Moisam, but he doesn't do anything about it. What's the pshat in that? Then they're supposed to count the Yidden. Alright, so we go through the whole counting. That's why Bamidbar is called the Chumash HaPikudim, because you have the counting in the Parshas Bamidbar, now you have another counting, and then the Eile Pikudei HaLevim, and so on and so forth. And then Eile Pekudei Moshe Velozah HaKoyen Asher Pokyos Bnei Yisrael Ba'avaz Moyov Ayadin Yerechay. But the Kravna Vnoiz Tzlafot, they understood now that why were they counted? Because Le'elo Techalei Ko'oretz, that this counting was done in order that the Chaluk of the Oretz could be made to them. So now the Bnei Tzlafot come along and say, what about us? Lomo Negora, and we have the story of the Bnei Tzlafot. Came Bnei Tzlafot, Daibor, it's very good. Vayom Hashem el Moshe, Alei el Ha'ahu Avarim Ha'azeh. Now we get to Moshe Rabbeinu's death. Now, Ramban points out that didn't happen now, but it was going to happen later, and therefore the Ramban Shem was telling him now already, this is what is going to happen. And then Vaydaber Moshe el Hashem lemer, Yifkat Hashem elokei aruchos v'chol bosa ish al ha'edo. And we come to the appointment of Yeshua. And that's all going to happen. Moshe Rabbeinu is being filled in on how these things are going to develop. Then we get a real shock. The Pasha of the Musafim. Pasha of the Musafim, what are they doing over here? The Pasha of the Musafim. And that goes on all the way to the end of Pinchas. And then you get to Matas, our Pasha this week. And what do we learn over there? The Pasha of the Nedarim. What's that doing over here? And after the end of the Pasha of the Nedarim, what happens? Vaydav Hashem el Moshe lema, nekoim nekmas b'nei Yisrael, me'esa midyonin, achat yosef elamecha. Now the Rabbi Shalom tells them, it's time. Now I want you to go out against the Midianim. In other words, take that mitzvah which I gave you earlier, immediately after the Magefa, Tzoraya Samidyonim, take that off the shelf, and now it's going to be the Maisa. What happened then? What happened now? And the various Pashias that came in the middle, they are all Be'etzem, fairly understandable, until we get to the Musafim and Tenedah, we'll talk about that. But perhaps you can understand, they were in Avos Moav, and now they had to make preparations for going into Eretz Yisrael. For that they needed to count the yin, and for that you needed to know and you had to deal with the B'nai Tzavchat, and these are all normal things, and the thinking had to be done about who was going to succeed Moshe Rabbeinu, and Rabbi Nishan was telling him it was going to be, it's all fairly logical. But why was that original mitzvah shelved? And what's going on over here? And what is the nature of this very, very, very strange passage? So the emes is that there's an unbelievable sfas emes, very, very yesoidistic sfas emes. And I want to read that sfas emes to you. And I was oimed on the Sfas Emes. I've mentioned so often now that I can't praise enough this Chumash Mimakim. And when he discusses Pinchas, he brings the Sfas Emes. But the Sfas Emes is an Emes Dike Moyodike Pashim. And this is a Sfas Emes on Pashas Pinchas. In Shnas Tov Resh Mem, you know that the Torahs of the Ger Rebbe and the Sfas Emes are organized by the year in which he said it. So this is from the year Tov Resh Mem, and this is what he writes. I'm going to read the whole shtickle because it's going to help us to understand a little bit of what's going on. When we've read it, we'll Blineda go over some of the issues that we touched on just now and see how it all fits in. Smichus Pashios Halolu, namely, Kehunas Pinchas, Tzorayas HaMidyonim, V'Haminyon, Uptiras Moshe Rabbeinu, he leaves out the B'nai Tzlofer and so on, I mean, because we get the idea. Ho'inyon Hu, listen carefully. Ki ato hischel liyoyz hanhoga acheres shel doya bore ha'oretz. Chumash is changing over here. We are changing from the yoytze Mitzrayim to the hanhoga of the bore ha'oretz. Lochein hoyom minyan chodash. Ukumoy b'doya midbar niten lahem aroin ha'kayin. He was the kohen gadol who was suitable for the yoytze Mitzrayim. Kach bedoya ze hoyo kohonas pinchas. Rak mikoidem hoyo bemalo elyoino lemalo min hateva bekoicha shel Moshe Rabbeinu velochein kohonas aron hoyo matono mishamayim. Aaron didn't have to do anything to earn his kohona. Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu, and the whole hanhoga of Moshe Rabbeinu was directly directed from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's why Aaron just was given the Kohanah Gedolah without any indication of how he had earned it. Pinchas bedin zocho likohonasai. Pinchas became a Kohen Gadol differently than Aaron. He became Kohen zocho likohonasai. He had to earn it. Why? Because kihoyo lefi hishtanus hadayah. Shehisrael ato liyois. Now listen carefully. Avoidas ho odom behis oirugus shalemato bechinas toiro shebalpeh. Wow. The Rebbe is saying that the story of Pinchas, the story of the kanos with which he earned the kohuna, the bris kohunas oilam, what is remarkable about that? Remarkable about that is that the his oyugus for that, I can't think of the English word, the his oyugus for that came from Pinchas. He understood that he has to be a Kanoi over there and to be Mekane, the Kinas Hashem. And that is what brought about the appointment as a Kohen. And that is the beginning of Torah Shebaal Peh, where the Hisoirus comes from within us. The Sash Emes goes on. V'zeh atzmoi, listen to this, it's moira in the world. V'zeh atzmoi inyan kanoim poigimboi. That is what kanoim poigimboi is. Shu eino bamoves. But Sanhedrin, he's not Chayiv Misa. The Gemara says that if he got turns around and if he would have killed Pinchas, he would have been potter, because Pinchas was a goyder. He's trying to kill him, he's not Chayiv Misa. Shal pi adin ein yecholim la misoi. V'rak mishu mekane l'ashem nishtane adin lehogar. Shekein din toiro. Nimtzo, listen to this. Shebnei Yisroel meshanim b'ma'aseihem kol hanhogar z'atoiro. V'zeh inyan toiro shebal peh shakol niten misinai. It was niten misinai in its potential, but what was that potential supposed to realize? That Klal Yisroel within itself will have the Hisoirus to be Mechadesh Halachas, which are Torah Shebaal Peh. And Dafke, what is the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh? That the Hisoirus comes from within ourselves, not from the Ribbono Shlom. Rak Shebo Pinchas V'Notal Es Sheloi. He's quoting that Rashi which we saw earlier. Uve'emes, Toiro Shel Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholan, Al Yedei Shehoyu Gvoyim Me'oid, Loi Hoyo HaAnhogo B'Koyacho HaNoshem. That was not the Anhogo. People had nothing to do with it. Rak V'Anhogo Elyoino. Shebitel Seichel B'Koyach HaSoga Se'odom V'Madrei Goromo Kuzu. They were so high that they could afford not to be functional, because they were so close to the Ribbono Shel, they just blended Kriya Yochel in with the Ribbono Shel, and all the Chochmah and all the understanding and all that they had to know flowed to them directly from the Ribbono Shel. They didn't have to stand between themselves, Kriya Yochel, and the Ribbono Shel. V'achar kach shenishpilu hadoyros nikah v'nitzrach his oirus hatachtoinim kenal. It didn't have its own light anymore. Now listen to this. In the world, he's saying a different pshat in Tzoroya Es HaMidyonim. We asked before, no, the Rebbeinu gives you a mitzvah, Tzoroya Es HaMidyonim. So why don't you do it? Nothing happens. What's the next thing? Count the yidden. What happened to the Tzoroya Es HaMidyonim? Zog the Heiliges Vas Emes. That Tzoroya Es HaMidyonim means Aleichem Le'ayev Osam. It is incumbent upon you to start hating them. Kloimer Shehoyo HaKoras HaMidyonim B'tziruv Sinas B'nei Yisroel. This whole Milchoma, which later on in Matos the Ribbono Shel says Nekoim Nikmas Yisroel Me'es HaMidyonim, that had the gas that ran that was hatred. B'tziruv Sinas B'nei Yisroel Hein HaDvorim Shekosavnu. What does it mean? See, he says that what it's said by Tzoroya Es HaMidyonim. Tzoroya Es HaMidyonim means, guys, you're not ready to fight yet, because you're only going to be ready to fight when the hatred is boiling inside you, when you have had the time to sit and consider what did these people do to us? Do you imagine what it means that thousands of Yidden went out and were mezane with them, and that they served the poor, and it all came from the Midyanim? Can you imagine the sinner that should be moiled? But I have the feeling that here we're sitting nicely in Baltimore, or wherever it is that we're sitting in America, or if you live Yidden in Israel, like we're all perhaps not exactly where we ought to be. Yeah, we could go, we lay in this pasha and we heard that that's what happened, and we go to sleep at night, at least I do, and I imagine many other people also do, and oh, wasn't it a pity? Oh, but that this should kindle this hatred within us. What is that? Why did the Rabbeinu Shem want that this hatred should be kindled? What was happening over here? Zogt der Heilige Sfas Emes, Rak hein ad vorim she kosavnu, she hisrel his nagus be his eurus atachtoinem. Um il chomas ha rishoynes hoyu hakol rak benifleus ha boire levad. Va'adarabe, ksiv vatem tacharishan, Hashem ilochem lochem vatem tacharishan. But here, it's not atem tacharishan. Tzeraya Esamidyanim. You have to not be Tacharishon. You have to make them your enemies. A Tzoyra is an enemy. Tzoraya Esamidyanim. Be enemies to them. Hate them. This has to grow from within yourself. You have to understand the enormity of what happened over here. And when you understand that enormity, so that sinner, which is boiling within you, is going to give you the koyach to eliminate them. No, so we understand very well that suddenly Moshe Rabbeinu was very, very angry. Heino, where's your sinner? If it's possible for you not to understand that these women have to be eliminated. I mean, even by what do you call it? By call of a colline, if a man is mezane with an animal, so he killed the animal. I shouldn't be a bizoyan. So if you have tens of thousands of Midianite women walking around and saying, ha ha ha, we are the women who were marshal these people, where is your sinner? Where is your Torah Shebaal Peh? Where is Torah welling up inside you? But often that you should know that you have to kill him. Moshe Rabbeinu had it hard. Like a lot of times it seems we didn't live up to his expectations. And it's very difficult to understand, but that's for maybe another time. It's certainly not for now. It's too long this year already. But this idea that these were the Talmidim of Moshe Rabbeinu's yeshiva. For 40 years they'd learned in Brisk. This was the Brisk of the Dara Midbar. 40 years they'd been learning by Moshe Rabbeinu. And and they weren't where they were supposed to be. It's a modern earth. What's happening with us? And why did the Hashgacha fear it like that? Oh, these are questions which we can't necessarily answer, maybe never. But that's what's going on over here. So, Bekitzer, I started off the shiur today saying that it might be a nice idea to analyze a little bit the Parshios, which come over here between the Tzroyas HaMidyonin and the in Matas when he says Achatera Sefer HaMecho the Nekoimus Nikmas Yisroel Me'es HaMidyonin. And now we've tried to explain that, but I just now remember that I forgot to explain the Musafim and the Nedarim. What are they doing over here? I mean, that's L'chol not Torah Shabbat Peh. So maybe next week in Yetzah Shem Masa is not such an easy passage to talk about anyway, so maybe we'll go back and discuss that. But this is a mouthful. This Sfas Emes is enough to keep us dancing for a week, minimum. That this is how Torah Shebaal Peh makes its entry into Jewish history. And what is Torah Shebaal Peh? Torah Shebaal Peh is a hisoirus welling up inside the person. That's what Kanoz is. That's the first act of Torah Shebaal Peh. The first act of Torah Shebaal Peh, of Klal Yisrael being Mechadesh Torah, is Pinchas being Mekane, the kinder of the Rebbe Hishlom. So, L'chol HaPochus, we had a Yid who suffered enough from the Chilul Hashem that had happened. And from that, others rose, the Bnei Tzlofot, that they came and were Nisoira. They had a glut of mind, they came to the Rebbe Hashem and said, listen, so what's going to happen with us? We can't live without Yerusha. Our brothers aren't theirs, otherwise they would help us. So suddenly, Klal Yisrael is being Nisoira with a Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, so let's see in Yetzer Hashem next week about the Musafim and the Nedarim.